This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, we will begin the planning for a take funeral coming up at 1 o'clock. Your guest that takes before a big NFL weekend coming up. And I like that we get to sit back and just watch the NFL this weekend. Just relax. Chiefs, Bills, Sundays. We'll get to that coming up at 1:30. We also have a fight tonight. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. We'll hit on that as well. But before we go back to the phone lines here, I know everyone's excited. We're excited. 8-2 teams, six wins in a row. We do have a problem that we haven't really touched on, and this is not Jalen Hurts. It's not about Jalen Hurts. We all know that the passing game has been kind of up and down this year. That we'll figure out as we go. I think it's fair to say we officially have a kicker problem on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Talking about your boy Jake.
Yep, Jake Elliott is having a tough season. I mean, there's no other way to say it. We are more than halfway through this season. He is one of only three kickers that are like full-time kickers, not guys that have popped in for a game or two, that have not made a 50-yarder yet. And his field goal percentage this year, Hugh, is 73%. Most kickers these days are around 85.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are 12 kickers between 90 and perfection this year, like 90% and 100. We're at 73%. It's an issue. I mean, I know he's been a tremendous kicker here for a long time, and he helped them win the Super Bowl. But kickers sometimes just have tough years or they go bad. I don't know what's going on, but I have some concern about this.
It is kind of interesting. I think Jake's in a position where there's a camp that feels like there is cause for concern,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a camp that feels like he's been iced for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, like he hasn't had enough opportunity?
Yeah.
But it's his job to be ready.
I think it was reported last night that he at least kicks the ball 250 times.
Yeah, that report was disputed.
Yeah, it was heavily.
Did you pick up? You hear that one, Kyle? Yesterday on the pregame show, during Howard's segment with us, we were talking about Elliott and take the points and like the whole. We were just debating back and forth, right, having fun. And I made the point that maybe he missed the 57-yarder in the Jags game because he wasn't used the whole game, right? Kind of he was iced. And Howard
I don't like that take.
Well, okay, but let me cook on that one. Howard told us. Howard told us that Jake Elliott kicks 250 kicks per game on the sideline to be ready.
50.
And Ike told him that is not true.
Is he from the Hugh Douglas school of math and inflating
maybe.
Numbers?
Well, maybe.
How did I catch a stray in this?
How do you not?
How did I catch a stray?
Let's go around the room here. All right, are we worried about Jake Elliott? I am. In a season that has Super Bowl aspirations, when we get to the postseason, those games are decided by a field goal here or there. We have a kicker make it 73%. I'll raise my hand first. I'm concerned. Hugh, are you concerned with Jake?
I mean, somewhat concerned. Not probably as concerned as you are, but yeah, somewhat concerned, especially when you talk about being in a situation where our offense has not lived up. These blue chip stocks ain't performing like we thought they were going
to
perform.
We're back to the mutual funds?
Yeah, back to that because okay. I kind of like that.
Yeah, we're going to hear a lot of that.
They're not performing. They're not performing up to snuff right now. So yeah, I'm kind of with you on
that. So what's a kicker in terms of that? Like,
he's a mutual fund. He goes along with the mutual fund? Yeah, he goes to the mutual fund.
Okay. Kyle, what do you think? You worried about Jake?
I don't know how you can't be. Yeah. I mean, I'm not hitting the panic button per se, but I'm at least of the mindset that they need to bring somebody in and sort of put a little heat on him.
Workout?
Another kicker? Yeah. Money changes people, man. Jake got that kind
of...
I'm just kidding. No, so I don't subscribe to the whole they haven't used him as much this season. Like, the Eagles do kick extra points sometimes. The Jags game, 57-yarder, that's a tough one. Regardless, right? Like, that's a long field goal. Last night was a bad night for him. I mean, he looked terrible. So, I don't know. I'm not saying cut him, but you have to start looking at he could sink your season.
Well, of course. And, we've seen this. I mean, Cody Parkey, he was going bad for the Bears before the double doink against the Eagles. I mean, this happens. I'd say, doesn't it feel like once a year a good team has a kicking issue? And I didn't anticipate it was going to be the Eagles. And hopefully this turns around and we forget about this conversation 6 weeks from now. But right now he's struggling. I do also wonder how much this has impacted Nick Sirianni's decision-making this year. And will it moving forward?
Like, I see what you're going with this, because now you're kind of wondering why Nick went for it all those times, because maybe he knew something that we didn't.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Well, now as you move forward, does he start to lose trust a little bit, right? Like, let's say next week against the Rams, could be a close game, we'll see, and they're out in the, you know, it's a 55-yarder. Is Nick going for the first down instead of putting the kick out there because he's losing trust? I mean, trust, Sirianni always uses that word, trust, right? I trust my guys. That's why I do something. Well, now it's fair to wonder if they still have the same level of trust to Jake Elliott. 215-592-9494. Sirianni did speak after the game about Jake and trying to keep a positive tone.
I saw you go over to Jake Elliott when he was having his struggles. What'd you say to him?
I mean, Jake's been so clutch his entire career and his entire time that I've been here too. And you know, just like I would say to somebody that fumbled or dropped a pass in a moment, you know, we believe in you. You're going to have to make a kick to help us win this football game. And, you know, he did, to get us up that 16 points and 8 points or whatever it was. But, you know, we have so much faith in him. And, you know, that's what you do. And when the connection happens, I think connections happen when you can really build connections through tough times, right? And so obviously he was going through a tough time, but, you know, this team believes so much in Jake Elliott, you know, because of his track record and who he is and the teammate he is, the captain he is, and just wanted to let him know that we all believed in him and can't wait for him to get his opportunity to go out and do it again.
Well, he has built up a lot of equity here. Like, I think that counts for something. He's made a lot of big kicks. It's just, isn't it weird when you're almost at Thanksgiving, he doesn't have a 50-yarder this season?
Yeah, when you talk about somebody who's been automatic. But like I said, there's a school of thought that because he hasn't had too many opportunities this season, maybe that's why he's a little off.
So you're blaming Sirianni?
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just giving you an option on the way you want to think about this thing.
Please stop.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's his job to be ready.
No, it is his job to be ready, especially when you're kicking 250 times during the course of the game.
Yeah, that math, I think I'm
going to go with that, though, because I just kind of like saying 250 times.
Well, I asked Howard last night, maybe his leg is tired if he's kicking 250 times on the sidelines.
That's a lot of kicks.
There's no way he's kicking 250 times.
How do you know? You
fake
ain't,
news,
are you
Howard,
looking?
Man.
he said.
Well, just do the math on that. I mean, there's a three-hour game. He's kicking 80 times an hour into the net?
He said it with a straight-ass face, too.
He did. He said it. You should have seen Ike's face when he said it, like, just flabbergasted.
How long until we get an angry text from Howard about this?
I'd say it's being typed out as we speak. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence.
What's up, man?
Man, I was about to tell Sirianni to go for two, man, after a couple of them kicks, too, with Elliott. Man, he was a little shaky last night. And somebody need to send the Giants general manager, you know what I mean, the president, send him a care basket or something, man, because the fans is right. Thank you for Saquon Barkley, man. He is the steal of the offseason. And pretty much, like you said, Joe Howie has performed some key offseason moves that probably could propel the Eagles to Louisiana in the Super Bowl run. But the Philadelphia Eagles, man, right now you got to believe in this team. I was telling Kyle, we're a complete team right now. And Jalen Hurts is going to be Jalen Hurts. I would like to see him have a faster start. I would like to see him, Kellen Moore and Sirianni, get some more quick hitters in there for him and it's the beginning of the game. But the thing I liked about Jalen Hurts, he makes the key passes when he needs them. That pass to Goddard at the end when he fumbled and Calcaterra got the fumble recovery, that was a key momentum of the game, man. And I feel like the way the defense is playing right now, man, Quinion Mitchell had McLaurin. He had him in a chamber of hell.
Vice grip.
Like, had him, man, clamped up. He had him all – he had like a baby in the crib. He was just watching that boy the whole day. And he's a shutdown corner right now.
He is. I mean, we don't even hear his name during the games. They don't even throw his way. I mean, look, I'm not saying he's this guy because this guy's in the Hall of Fame or going to the Hall of Fame. But, like, there's some Darrell Revis to this. When Darrell Revis was at his best, they didn't throw his way. Yeah.
Lockdown. And as far as the Super Bowl run, the only team that's standing in our way is the Detroit Lions. And I feel like the Detroit Lions, they're right for the picking right now. I feel like we could beat them. I feel like if we come in our A game, and I feel like Sirianni, I like the fact that he didn't get in the way last night. That showed a lot of growth in him during a big division game for him not to get involved in the game. That showed a lot about Sirianni.
Well, I thought he coached well last night. I did. And look, we can't control if the kicker makes the kicks. Terrence, we preached the phone call. But I didn't have a problem with anything Sirianni did last night. I mean, you could say that trick play, but that's a Moore call, right? And they worked on it. It got blown up. It didn't work. But look, he had them ready last night. They played well. And like Kyle said, he outcoached the other coach who made a big mistake. That Dan Quinn, I still don't understand why he didn't kick the field goal there. That was weird. And by the way, Terrence brought up that fumble recovered by Calcaterra. That might have been the biggest.
That could have swung the game. Yeah, that would have been bad.
So that was right after the stop? Am I right on that? Are you right over there?
No.
Yeah, we got the text.
You got the text.
I'm not looking. I'm not even looking. You knew it was on its way.
All I saw was every one of you guys that did it went downhill from there.
I'm not looking. So, but the Calcaterra fumble recovery, Hugh, I think that was right after they made the stop, right? Quinn doesn't go for the field goal. Eagles get the stop. It's 12-10, 7 minutes to go. If the Commanders get the ball back there, they might go win the game. They might. You're reading Howard's text.
No.
It's a paragraph about how clueless we are.
He started out with moron. We got to call moron.
I'm sorry, Howard. The math does not matter.
It doesn't.
Whoever told you that is wrong.
I'm like a pitching coach, clocking the kicks.
I believe in you, Howard. I think you're right.
You think 70% of Americans are actively chasing Bigfoot.
Hand up. I'm out on the 250.
I might not be the right ally in this situation.
You're the wrong ally. You are the wrong ally. Ally for this. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
Fellas, what's good?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Andy.
Everybody all right?
Yeah, we're good. We're just trying to ignore Howard's text, you know.
Before I hit that Eagles great win, can I shout out my team? I'm coaching, playing for a championship this weekend.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, what's the team?
Here we go. Big shout out to the Deptford Spartans 8U, right? 10-0 season. Going for 11-0.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going for this ship this weekend against a really good Whitman Park team at Bridgeton High School. So big shout out to the boys.
Well, that's awesome. Well, congrats, Andy, and go win this one, man.
Oh, without a doubt. As far as the Eagles go, I mean, you got to look at that defense first. Our biggest concern you heard early on in the season, where's the pass rush going to come from? I mean, look at my boy Big BJ, looking like a rejuvenate, looking like a 5-year vet, more than a 15-year vet, right?
He looks like plays. Before you go on, Andy, he looks like a player that shouldn't retire. I mean, like BG still got something left in the tank.
We got Sweat making plays, right? We got Carter unblockable, but you got other cats that love to criticize the coach. You know, people on the airwaves even criticizing the coach, mm-hmm. a week kind of coach, right? How about the decision the coach made to sit Avante Maddox and start Cooper DeJean? That's working out pretty good, you know, coaching decision. Great move by Nick.
Well, that changed the defense.
I'm just saying, though, he had to pull the trigger, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You know, so, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. And then, you know, as far as Barkley, I mean, look at this guy. You got to have him in the MVP discussions. When's the last time an MVP has been a running back?
I think the last one was Peterson, right? Adrian Peterson, 2012.
Yeah, but he carried the ball a lot that year, man.
Well, he had 2,000 yards. That was the thing that pushed it over the top. Yeah. Well, Saquon's got over 1,000 in 10 games. Like, he's on pace for 2,000 yards,
I mean, leading the league in rushing, you know. Like I told y'all a couple days ago, best free agent signing all time of the Eagles, not named Nick Foles. We already know that, even within 10 games. But with this kicker situation, that's really concerning me. I mean, you know, that's one of the biggest parts of the game. We left 7 points on the field. And we all love Jake Elliott. All you ever hear, oh, he's such a great athlete. He's a good golfer, this, that, and the third. I'm not worrying about all that. You got to be able to make extra points. You got to be able to make 51-yard field goals in the NFL, damn near automatic. I mean, like Kyle was saying, we got to get some competition in here. I don't care about what he did in the past. We're trying to win the chip now. So if it comes down to, you know, a field goal, like you guys were just discussing, now we got to start questioning things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he may have, you know, sometimes kickers get that dead leg. You know, maybe he's getting that dead leg. I don't know.
You trying to bring in a kicker like next week?
Bring somebody
in tomorrow to get some competition under him. You know, maybe he's feeling a little too comfortable. You feel me?
He's back. Andy.
You know how that goes. You know, somebody comes in the off week. Oh, man, damn. I better start stepping in.
That usually happens on losing teams, though.
Every week. That don't happen with kickers more than any other position in the NFL on a winning or losing team, Hugh.
It does.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying, like, the guy has one bad game, and now we're talking about bringing
it. He's been bad all season.
73% for the year.
Okay, calm down, Andy. I'm just adding a little spice to the thing.
You spitting false.
I'm not spitting.
He's been suspect all year. He ain't make a 50-yarder all year. How's that good? How's that one bad game?
Are you going to let me speak now, Andy? Because what I was about to say was
yours.
Because what I was about to say was, when he was asked to kick a long field goal the last time, when he was sitting on the sideline, maybe that's the reason why he missed that. Now, last night, there's no excuse for that, but I was trying to say maybe it's a little bit premature to bring in a kicker this weekend or next week. So, Andy, are you going to let me speak?
But I think you're forgetting one thing here, the 250 kicks per game on the sideline.
Sure, Andy, ask me this. Ask me whatever you want to ask me.
All right, so he's been inconsistent.
But wait a minute, Andy. What about this? See, you don't like it when I do you like that, though, huh? See, that you don't do that. See, that's not how conversation works.
So he hasn't made a 50-yarder all year. So how's that good?
What do you mean? No, I just wait a minute, Andy. First of all, I just told you the reason why I felt like he didn't make it, and I also gave you a reason why it might be a little bit premature. Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't he win us the Super Bowl? Doesn't he get a little bit of cachet because he won us a Super Bowl?
Doug Sirianni. I mean, Nick. Dougie P ain't getting no play with that. I'm not worrying about
because
that.
Because Andy, calm down. Because you got a chance this weekend when you go to Bristol, you're going to have a chance to win. But what I'm talking about is this football team right now. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is this. He's built up some cachet.
Yeah, that's
all I'm saying.
So sometimes, like I said, maybe he's too comfortable, and you got to get somebody to push him.
So, Andy, I agree. So I think here's the thing. Andy, a good phone call. So, and good luck this weekend, Andy, in your game, hopefully you guys win. All right, so do you think it would – because teams do this sometimes, right? You're not cutting him. You're not even really going to sign the guy. You just make him aware you got some tryouts going on. Teams do that to kickers, right? They don't sign the people they bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens to Jake Elliott, but like he would know, right? He'd be pretty aware if he looks over the other field because they have all the fields, right?
You see the writing on the wall
that they bring a couple free agents in and they work them out.
I would say I hear what you're saying, but I think that's a little bit premature.
So all right, let's play it out. Let's say next week against the Rams. 52-yarder, very makeable field.
I totally agree with you when you talk about the premise of the moments that you've had. Because we always talk about situations.
Yeah.
You have not performed.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, being the guy that has, you know, won your Super Bowl, you give him a little bit of leeway. Now, to your point, if it becomes one of those games where, you know, if he doesn't make it, then – there's a conversation to be had. But I also say this. It just feels like there's been a little bit of a paradigm shift in the way that Coach Sirianni handles these moments.
I agree.
So maybe that has a little bit to do with it, because maybe it, mentally he's probably thinking, I understand and I acknowledge that this might sound like an excuse, but maybe he's thinking, oh, they're not going to use me anyway. And then when it's time to use him, he's not, you know, hey, he's not prepared.
Almost like the mental aspect, not so much the physical. Because we do know he's apparently kicking 250 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're forgetting that he kicks the ball 250 times.
No, yeah, that 250 kicks that he has a week, though. Yeah, that really.
I think it is worth noting that track record matters a lot in sports. Like, and Elliott's had a good one. But kicker is such a weird position. Like, it's so mental. Like, when sometimes good kickers just go bad for no. Remember Mike Vanderjagt with the Colts? At one point, I think he had the record for the highest percentage ever.
And then he went south.
He went bad. I'm not saying Elliott's can't play anymore. I'm just saying I've seen kickers be good, and then you wake up one day and all of a sudden, like, they can't kick anymore.
It reminds me of a bullpen arm in baseball.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They're just kind of fickle year to year.
That's a good analogy. That's a good enough.
Hey, thanks, Hugh.
We don't usually tell each other that. We usually make fun of each other's analogy.
That's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
Pick and say mean and hurtful things. Mm-hmm. But I felt like being positive because it's Friday.
And it's after a win.
This is definitely after a win.
Yeah. Plus, yeah, I think we should try to tone down the feelings in here, because in about like 10 minutes, you and I have to, like, they're planning our take funerals for us.
Your take. I still got 7 weeks.
Whoa.
No, I got 7 weeks.
I would say your take's dead today.
No, I would say that my take has no legs today.
You guys are both cooked.
Your take died last night.
No, I have semantics. I have semantics on my side today.
We sat down. My take just sat down for a little while.
You're also cooked.
I have semantics on my side. All right, Drew's up in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Yeah, you know, look, the defense, you know, we've been giving them props and they deserve it. I mean, last night to me was a new level in terms of, you know, a game where the offense really did nothing for three quarters and the defense still kept us in position to win that game. And, you know, so all the props to the D. And I wanted to bring up a stat that probably no one's really been talking about. I had time looking this up while I was on hold. Mm-hmm. 45 defensive penalties through 10 games is by far the lowest number of penalties an Eagle defense has given up. I look back 15 years.
Wow.
I couldn't find a season even close to an average of below 5 defensive penalties a game. And you know the value of that and the discipline that they're playing with. In addition to the aggressiveness, it's a great combination. And if they can keep it up, I mean, you know, those defensive penalties, Eagle teams in the past 10, 20 years, I mean, it's been so frustrating to see drives continue mm-hmm. for other teams when, you know, on a PI or whatever. And so I just wanted to mention that because it's, like I said, 15 years going back, I can't even find any close stats for an Eagle team to have lower than 5 defensive penalties a game. It's outstanding.
Drew, what strikes me about that and why I think it's so impressive is, one, It helps you win, like you said, right? Because those extend drives, it kills you. It's like you think you're off the field, you're not. But true, the other thing is they're doing it with a lot of young players on the field, especially young defensive backs who tend to just get penalized because they're learning how handsy they could be
He's not, and that's the one thing Quinion hasn't been. He hasn't been handsy.
No, and even DeJean, right? Like, they're both kind of physical players, but they're not getting called. Andrew, they have young players up front, and they kind of want to make plays. You could see that, you know, after the whistle kind of stuff, and like you're saying, they haven't had much of that.
Yeah. So it's awesome to watch and how it's coming together, and hopefully it's just the trajectory continues like this. And we got some tough games coming up against some tough teams, but it's so great to see the defense, this becoming like a defense led team again. I mean, that's always the best feeling when you know your defense has your back as far as winning. So the other thing is this defense, unlike the offense, this defense does not take long to get going in games. In other words, we've seen games where, like, the first drive by the other team or the second drive, we're like, what's going on with the defense? But they right the ship, like, right away. So, like, after that first touchdown last night, which I guess was on Washington's second drive mm-hmm. or something like that, you know, and so that's a great quality, too. I mean, the adjustments or whatever's going on with Fangio and the calls and everything, I mean, they are getting things squared away early in games. Now, if the offense can do that, then look out. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be a great combo.
Well, they'll be dominant. I mean, they'll be the best team in the league if they get Drew. Drew, we appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. We'll get to guess the takes for a big Week 11 in the NFL on Sunday, including the undefeated Chiefs at the Bills. And when we get back, we're going to make preparations. We have a couple of take funerals that that I think are happening whether we like it or not. One of my takes that it might be time to say goodbye to, and one of Hugh's that's, I think we're lowering that thing into the ground.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.